This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Sacchino Weeks, December 2nd, and absolutely nothing to talk about in the world of golf, Bob.
That's it. Should be a quiet time of year, shouldn't it?
Yeah, but you and I have been saying this now for how many years? Oh, my. Tiger Woods. I got to start off the show this morning by saying I have never been happier being wrong more like as I am right now. I am so happy. I was the least optimistic of the Golf Talk Canada family, I would suggest.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
And I was openly commenting that I hoped I was incorrect.
You did.
Because I think it's better when he's around.
Yeah, it sure is.
And he's sure back.
Ratings are way up, television-wise, streaming-wise. So everybody loves Tiger. Everyone has an opinion about Tiger. I won't say they all love him, but they love to either hate him or they love to love him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. You're certainly he's polarizing at this point in his career.
He can be, yeah. I just look at the Twitter feed and stuff, and you can see it. It's pretty easy.
Well, we got a jam-packed show today. David Hearn, Brad Fritch, Mike Kelly, Golf Ontario, 12 Days of Golf. We'll still do Winners, Weird, and What. There's going to be Scully time, and I'm sure Mr. Scully, who has been the most optimistic of the family.
He nailed it.
He nailed it.
He was the first guy to say Hero World Challenge before.
First guy to nail when he was coming out. The first guy to say he was going to play well.
Yeah.
And Scully just laid a grand on Tiger at the Masters in the last 15 minutes I saw him back there. So Scully going hard on the Tiger train. So we're going to get this. We will talk a ton of Tiger today before we get to news and headlines because there are some other things happening in the world of golf. Bob, just quickly, your initial reaction to what we've seen in 36 holes, what's the difference this time?
He's clearly swinging pain-free, clearly swinging full out. And very, very happy. I mean, when you see his walking down the fairways, he's smiling, he's in a good position, he's, you know, confident. And just to me, when you look at that full swing, I mean, what did they measure him yesterday? 180 ball speed. That would have ranked him top 10 on the PGA Tour. Yep. So
Rory McIlroy.
You know there's no pain if he is swinging that way.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy's ball speed last year, one of the best drivers in the game of golf. 180 miles an hour.
Yeah, Bubba was 180.22, I think, and he was ninth on the PGA Tour stats list.
Oh, and he's using a ball that doesn't work.
That's just another thing.
I throw that out there. Anyway, we got tons to get to today, so let's start with some news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Interesting how these types of things seem to come out around this time of year. I found it interesting the timing of our first headline, though, that would come out this week.
Friday afternoon news drop.
Yeah, in the middle of a stellar round of golf by Tiger Woods, that Phil Mickelson's brother will be official on the bag for 2018.
So he's going to move to being full-time. He was, first of all, he was the coach at Arizona State. And then when John Rahm graduated to go and play the PGA Tour, he decided he would be an agent. So he was John Rahm's agent. And then when Phil and Bones parted ways, he took over on the bag. So now he's going to just devote himself full-time to being Phil's caddy. John Rahm is going to get more or different representation from the same company, Lagardère. And it's interesting because when I thought about this afterwards, I don't really know. I wonder if like Phil said to Tim, I want you full-time, or if John Rahm said, I want you full-time. You know, which one of them may have forced his hand,
right,
or if he just made a choice on his own.
Were you as suspicious with the timing as I was?
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go again. Now, Cabot Links, which is also obviously home to, you know, two of the best courses in the country. Some would even rank them one and two. Talk of a third championship course coming. Still talk of that.
Yep.
However, an announcement this week, going down the short course, which has been so popular at Bannon Dunes at Pinehurst.
Yeah, you were out there at Bannon. You played the little short course.
I love this idea.
So they're going to build a sort of a par 3 short course. It's going to be 12, 14 holes. They haven't decided yet. They got a piece of land out by Cabot Cliffs. They'll be building it there. And there is, as you mentioned, talk of a third full-length course down, if you come out of Cabot Links, you go the other way compared to what you go to Cabot Cliffs. down near Mabu, and they might build that one. And the rumor to be Gil Hanse is the guy.
And we've got, I got to tell you right now, that third course pops. First of all, it's already almost impossible to get a tee time at Cabot. You better be booked now or you're not getting a play. If they build a third course, we're going to need some accommodation. They're going to need to build another lodge.
You have to build a hotel.
Yeah, there's no way you can do it because there's just no accommodations.
That's right. You either stay there or you stay in a tent.
You know, I just can't see myself tending at the new Cabot, Bob. Jim Rutledge has conditional status on the Champions Tour.
So the Champions Tour Q School is the toughest Q School ever. There's only five spots that go out.
It's nuts.
And the way the Champions Tour works is they have Monday qualifying. There's only 70 spots in the field, but they have Monday qualifying to give up. I think it's eight spots each week. But if you're not sort of in the class, the premier class, you actually have to qualify for the qualifying. So they have a Friday qualifying for the Monday qualifying. What Jim Rutledge has done now is allowed himself to go directly to the Monday qualifying. And he had pretty good success when he had that status a few years ago. So hopefully we'll see Jim in a few more events. He's 58 now, so he's getting to the top side of the Champions Tour age where you sort of have your success. But boy, what a grinder he has been for his career.
You know, I work with guys on our PGA Tour radio team, and they're, you know, they have some strong opinions on some of this stuff, too, because these are guys that played on the PGA Tour. Many of them won on the PGA Tour, but yet access to that Champions Tour is just, it's
so
brutal.
So hard.
I know. Unreal. And finally, before we get to Mr. Woods, Weirzy playing and making the cut. When's the last time he's played four rounds? I can't even recall.
He did one in Italy this year, I think, on the European Tour.
And he made all four?
Played all four.
So this might have been the Rocco Forte Open.
It could have been. You're right. That's good. But yeah, playing in the Australian PGA, which is a pretty big event. They've got all sorts of top players
down
there.
Yeah, it's a great field.
You know, Adam Scott's using the long one.
I saw that. Sergio playing well still.
Sergio's in there, and Weirzy's like in the middle of the pack. He's like tied for 30th, just around there.
Well, good for Weirzy, and it would be great if he had some semblance of a game at when he gets to Augusta, because we know he wants to play, and he's planning to play at Augusta. And the difference for him at Augusta the last few years, other than obviously the same old, which he was battling injury and yada, yada, is that there hasn't really been many reps for him. He kind of gets to Augusta, and he hasn't really played competitive golf in a long time by the time he gets there.
Yeah.
If he could play a couple of four-round golf tournaments leading into Augusta, it might be a different experience for him.
So his plan right now is he's going to play this. He's going to go to South Africa, play one or two there, and then he's going to come back here and play web.com tour.
Good.
Where he has pretty much unlimited status.
Well, you know what? That might make the Masters experience a little different for him in 2018. So good luck, Weirzy. Now, we're due more Canadiana coming up. We got Hernsey. We got Fritch. Tiger is the news. We will talk a lot of Tiger today. I am absolutely shocked at the performance over 36 holes. I don't want to overblow this. This is 36 holes at an 18-person field at a quasi-exhibition tournament in the Bahamas on a flat piece of property that he plays a lot of golf at, by the way. He's attached at the hip to the Tavistock Group, which is Nona, Isleworth, etc., places where he lived before. Now playing, I think, a lot of golf out of Albany Club when he's not in Jupiter. But speed back in the bat, pop back in the bat, driving it fairly accurate. I think the driving stats are not telling the story of how good he's hitting it off the tee. He's missed a couple of weird ones, but he missed a couple of weird ones by a yard that got 18 yesterday that got him a horrible lie. That's 2-3 yards away from being in a decent spot, you know? So I think sometimes the stats lie. I think health, obviously healthy, which is fantastic. The putting has been great. The speed's been a little off. But
he was off yesterday for
sure. Justin Rose spoke a little bit about this. And he plays a lot of golf at the Albany Club. And Rosie said he's never seen the greens as fast at the Albany Club. So if you have a memory of how these greens operate, which Rose does, which Woods does, you might find these greens a little harder to adapt to because you can't believe the speed you're finding on them, right?
Right.
I think at the end of the day, I give him great, pretty solid grades all around. The one thing I found surprising was the pitching and chipping performance, Bob, on Thursday was not good.
No.
And it was kind of similar to what we saw the last few years. Even when he was playing well back in 2013, if you recall with a 5-win season in 13, when he had a chance to compete at majors that year into the weekend, it was his short game around the greens it was sloppy even back then. So when I saw it Thursday, I went, it's still there. And he comes out Friday, and he's hit some really delicate pitches, and it was a huge self-correction from Thursday to Friday. That, to me, was shocking that he could correct it that fast. Were you surprised to see him get up and down from some spots on Friday after what you saw Thursday?
Yeah, it led me to kind of believe that maybe Thursday was more of an exception. Maybe there was, you know, when you get those Caribbean courses, you get that wiry grass, and sometimes you can stick the club in it. You can't really use the bounce because everything sits down a lot. So I'm kind of thinking it might have been more just a little bit of mechanics that he could tweak, which he did, obviously, after the round. And if you noticed on Friday, too, he took some different options. Like he putted off one, putted the where he, on the second hole, I think, par five, he putted from off the green.
Yeah.
There was another one where he played a little bump and run, had a little 8-iron or 9-iron, closed the face, and just kind of hit it up. So he obviously limited the number of wedge shots that he had to play. But when he did play them, I thought they were pretty good. I mean, he was all around the hole. He wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't in, but he was pretty close to them.
I think the two biggest things, before we go to break here, I think the two biggest things for me is he, for the first time since 2013, he looks like a guy that belongs. He didn't look like a guy that doesn't belong on the PGA Tour.
Right.
Okay, that's huge. I don't know how much bigger to say that, but we've been looking at him going, this guy shouldn't even be out there.
Right.
And now he looks like a guy that can compete. That's a huge one. And two, the swing looks free. The swing does look like he's not efforting to create that speed, to get onto that left side. He's not leaping at it. He's not spinning his left hip.
Not flinching.
No, nothing like that that looked like there was something that wasn't physically right. We'll see. If he can play four rounds of golf, I don't care how he finishes. I don't care what he does over the next 36 holes. If he can play two more rounds of golf, wake up Monday morning and say, let's play again, this is huge. This is absolutely huge. So, all right, on the other side, David Hearn had an opportunity to go one-on-one with Weeksy. Bit of a challenging year for Hearn. Great optimism, though. He's got an attitude in the right place. He's been out there a long time. Bob had a chance to speak to Hearn about the year that was and the upcoming 2018. We'll hear from David Hearn next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. David Hearn, one of the nice guys on tour, regardless of his nationality, hard worker, came also close to winning multiple times and also breaking the jinx a couple of years back at the Canadian Open. Also lost in a playoff at the Greenbrier. He's come so close. Lost to a playoff at Jordan Spieth a couple of years back as well, Bob, at John Deere. And Bob had a chance to go one-on-one with David Hearn. They spoke a little bit about the year that was 2017 and what the plan is for 2018.
Here is David Hearn with a little post-Thanksgiving break here now for you, David, then before you get ready. But just, I guess, to look back is and to start this interview is to kind of explain to us where you are right now in the grand scheme of exemptions that is the PGA Tour.
Yeah, my status isn't exactly what I would say is ideal for next year, but it's in the grand scheme of things, big picture, it's really not that bad either. I'm not going to be able to pick and choose my schedule like I have the last few years, but I'm still going to get, at the end of the year, when all is said and done, you know, between 18 and 20 events, hopefully. And, you know, that should be enough time for me to, you know, get what I need to get done. And it's just going to put a little bit more emphasis on playing well when I do get in those events. You know, I'm pretty optimistic that it's going to turn out better for me in the end. In the past 2 years, I've spent a lot of time playing, you know, all around the world, traveled a lot. I've played over 30 events for 2 years in a row, which is a lot of events in today's golf schedule. So, you know, I think next year, you know, having a few less events, I might be a little bit more rested. I might be a little bit more prepared for each and every event that I play. And, you know, I think it might turn out better for me. And, you know, after that, you know, maybe I'll change my schedule going forward and try to take a little bit more time off. But we'll see how this year goes. And, you know, I definitely have a lot of respect for those guys that that travel and play two tours. You know, it really takes a big toll on you. And, you know, I can see how some of those guys get worn out the way they do.
You spent a lot of time last year working on some swing changes. When you brought those swing changes in, did you realize it would probably be sort of a one step back to take two steps forward kind of process?
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be, and I wouldn't think that I did take one step back. You know, I think I had a bit of a tough year, and it certainly, I don't think, was a result of the golf swing changes that I made. I wasn't quite as good on the greens last year, especially in the early going. You know, I think in the end, I ended up having to put a little bit more pressure on that short game to try to make things happen sort of through the midsummer. Overall, my ball striking numbers, you know, at the end of the year were very, very good. And in the fall series, you know, I'm starting to hit the ball really well and probably close to the best I've hit it in my career. So as far as the results go, yeah, that was a step backward, no doubt. In reality, you know, I still feel like I'm making the necessary changes to keep moving forward. I was talking to Jason Logan recently about it as well, and we kind of commented on basically on the PGA Tour with how competitive it is now and how competitive the young players are. You really need to try to continue to make efforts to get better. And if you don't do that, you're going to be falling behind. And at my age, especially I'm 38 now, I'm certainly not old in golf, but, you know, it just seems like it is getting a bit younger these days. You know, I need to continue to try to make some necessary changes to stay competitive and to see myself have a good career for the next 8 or 10 years, which I do see. And I definitely feel like, you know, despite the results last year, if you look at the second half of my year, I really started to play some nice golf. And the fall series, I played okay this year. I had, thankfully, had a nice round to finish off the season. But it's really close. I know that next year, you know, I'm ready to hit the ground running.
It is so competitive. I don't know in your years on the PGA Tour if it's ever been as competitive as it is right now. I mean, the margin between making the cut or getting a check or whatever is so razor thin out there. How much pressure does that put on you guys week to week? I'm not necessarily talking about when you're out there playing, but when you're looking at numbers and when you're looking at where you are and where you're looking at rankings and things like that, how much pressure is there in the back of your mind to kind of compete?
Yeah, it's all how you kind of interpret the pressure. Everybody feels the pressure on the golf course. Everybody gets nervous. We all want to do the best we can. We all want to compete. It's a natural reaction to feel that way. But I think, you know, even more so than just the cuts, like you were saying, if you look at like the Sunday leaderboards, you know, the last event of the year in Sea Island, Austin Cook kind of was running away with it and had like one challenger there. But, you know, if you look at how close the board is between, say, fifth position to 25th or 30th, you know, it's usually only a handful of shots, and those handful of shots are, you know, in the clutch. They're right down the stretch. And if you can make a couple birdies coming in, or if you were to happen to stumble and make a couple of bogeys, it can go from being, you know, a lot of FedEx Cup points and a decent check to not very much. And I think that's where the tour has really gotten more competitive. It's just how tight those leaderboards are on the weekends. I've talked to, you know, some caddies and some players that have been out there for, you know, 25, 30 years. And, you know, they used to say on the weekend, you know, sometimes you'd see, you know, part of the field kind of fade away and then the rest of the field kind of move forward. But you see more and more the players on the weekend continuing to move forward. You don't see too many players. You see occasionally guys have tough weekends. But for the most part, once you get to the weekend, you know, you still have to really keep playing hard to keep moving forward. And I think that just shows how deep the fields are and how competitive it really is.
This has been a big year for David Hearn off the golf course as well, with a number of charity efforts and junior golf initiatives and things that have you've had. How satisfying is that part of what you do?
It's been incredibly satisfying. I think when you turn pro, you don't think about doing stuff like this, and you know, you're always focused on trying to get better and move up the ranks. And now I've gotten into a position where it's been really great to give back, and it's so rewarding. The foundation, we're in our third year now. The first 2 years were incredibly successful. We've added so many things to the portfolio, if you will, for the foundation, with the wine label, the junior tournaments, the hats that we're selling, as well as the David Hearn Charity Classic. So we've got a whole bunch of different ways that we continue to try to raise awareness and kind of also try to raise funds for the foundation. And it's been incredibly rewarding to be able to give back in that way, and you know, something that I'm very proud of, and my wife's really enjoyed getting involved with it as well. So it's definitely been a nice balance for me to realize that you know, it's not all just about making the birdies. It's about, you know, giving back and, you know, trying to help other people through what we're doing as well.
We're just a few weeks away from the jolly old man coming down the chimney. I know you got some young ones at home. What's on the agenda for Christmas around the Hearn household?
It's going to be a busy one this year. We have two kids, and two of them know that there's a Santa. The third one doesn't yet. So no, it's going to be a fun time. We're excited about getting back to Canada for some holiday festivities. And, you know, it's just like everybody, we're going to enjoy some time to relax. And, you know, I spent a lot of time on the road this year, away from home, away from the crew. So it's going to be good to be home together and have some quality time.
All right. Well, thanks for spending some time with us, and all the best for the holidays.
Thank you, Bob. All the best for yourself as well.
David Hearn with Bob Weeks about the year that was and the year that's upcoming. In that window that he's in, Bob, like, you know, just outside the 125, a window that Fritchie's been familiar with over his career, it's difficult. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. And I think the most important thing is when he does get starts, you got to take advantage of it.
You got to maximize it, and it's you've got to try and climb back inside that 125. It's such a difference. So as he says there, he'll get, you know, 18 to 20 starts. I suspect he'll play a little web tour events here and there if he gets some lulls. You know, it's not easy when you're sort of on that fringe, whether you're at the bottom of the web qualifying like Fritchie was last year. There's just so many good players right now, and so few spots. It's getting a little easier for some of these guys, but boy, like you say, you got to play well when you have the chance.
That's it. When you peg it up, make cut, make the numbers, pile up that money and those points, and maybe it gets easier as you go. Now, speaking of Brad Fritch and being in that position and understanding that window, Bob, I had a chance to catch up with Brad as well. We'll hear from Fritchie next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks, Zucchino in studio. We're going to get to winners, weird, and what soon. We have Mike Kelly, Executive Director of Golf Ontario, joining us to talk a little bit about 12 Days of Golf, which is the online auction to drive some funds to the Junior Golf Drive. So good cause and a great golf available for the golfer on your list. But before we get to that, touch base with one of Canada's great pros, Fritchie, who's kind of lived almost lived in the same spot, Bob, as what we just spoke to Hearnsey about.
Yeah, and he sort of finds himself really on the outside looking in. As we talked about in this interview, great guy, one of the most poignant and keen observers of the game of golf. And, of course, that's why he was our Masters color commentator for us this past season. I really enjoy listening to what he has to say.
Here's Bob with Fritchie on the year that was and the year that is ahead.
And joined now by Brad Fritch. And, Brad, I don't know how you would sum up the 2017 season for you, but certainly one of frustration would be the way I might put it, but I'll let you describe the season for you.
Yeah, I think of it as a culmination of 3 years of frustration, really. 2015 was, you know, I kept my card on the web tour, but there was a lot of missed opportunities. 2016, on the web, I did win and finished second in back-to-back weeks, but other than that, I really had a tough time out there. I'm fortunate to have those 2 weeks and never really, you know, quite found my footing in 2017 on the PGA Tour. So it's been kind of a lean stretch of golf for 3 years. And you know, the hard work's being put in. It's just, you know, it must be in the wrong places. And we've identified a few things going forward that I need to do. And I think it's coming together. But, you know, I'm not getting younger. So it better get better soon.
I know last year one of the biggest frustrations was just the way that the system is set up, that it makes it very difficult for guys who are in your position, web graduates who perhaps don't have the greatest of status, to get in and play, and even when you do, to get some kind of a rhythm going. How frustrating is that part of it?
it was a little bit difficult. I think I figured out that from January to June, I've played in 6 or 7 events. And so one event per month, that doesn't really give you much in the way of momentum. Now, whether that would have been positive or negative momentum in my case, since I was playing so poorly, I'm not sure. But I'm a firm believer in, you only need 1 week out of the year to do great things. So it was disappointing only to get, I believe, 17 starts last year. From the looks of it, they've fixed the system. I think almost every web graduate got in every fall event, this past year. So that's a good thing, and hopefully that'll be the case going forward.
So where does it leave you now, looking ahead? I know you said you're working on some changes, you're doing some things differently, but in terms of what your calendar, what your schedule is going to look up, what your airline tickets are going to look at, like where you're going to play, what have you been able to identify so far?
Yeah, so from 2016 and my win on the web.com tour, I've got, membership on that tour. My status isn't great, but I believe that I'll get at least 3 or 4 of the first 7 events out there. Whether that's the 2 in the Bahamas in January, whether it's Panama, Colombia, or events on the mainland, I'm not sure. That's always up for not debate, but you just never know how it's going to fall depending on who plays. But I think the one positive thing that I see is that more guys are getting into the PGA Tour events, so they won't come back down and play on the web. So I think that's going to open up a few spots each week, and I think I should be okay at the start of the year.
So, I mean, I guess what it comes down to is if you don't like your status, play better kind of deal, right? It's always better play, always sort of helps everything?
Always is. That's the universal comeback to any complaint about anything in golf is you don't like it, you just need to play better and that'll fix itself. So I've spent a couple of years on the web on those player advisory councils, and we're trying to make changes so that it's more fair, more equitable, but good play always trumps everything else.
Right. It's a tough way to make a living for sure. When you look back now at last year and you're identifying the changes going forward, what kind of things are you doing to your game that you hope will help?
Well, I had a lot of foot problems in 2016, and I think it just bled into this year. I was completely healthy this year, but I just never found my golf swing off the tee. That was the thing that was killing me. A hazard per day or a chip out of the trees or whatever, you just can't afford to have that many things go wrong off the tee. And one thing I did was I switched from a driver shaft that I've been using for a couple of years, and I guess it got progressively worse, but in the beginning it was quite good. But I ended up switching back to a $60 graphite design shaft that anyone can get. I'm not even sure they make it anymore, but I went back to it, and all of a sudden my ball flight completely changed for the better. The miss is better, and now I'm turning it over right to left better than I have in the past. So that was one thing that I wish I didn't change, but that was 3 years ago, and I did play some good tournaments with the old driver. But it just gotten to the point. I'm not sure if I wasn't strong enough to literally use that shaft or what. But it just became a complete liability. So I've eliminated that, got it back to my old driver. I could go into the technicality of a golf swing, but I won't.
Thank you.
There's a few things that I was doing. I was not getting what I would call underneath. I wasn't, propelling myself up into the air. I was coming down on the ball with every club. And for me, that doesn't work. And all of a sudden, I went from hitting a draw to hitting a fade. And that completely messed me up. And so that was this whole year was just trying to deal with that. Not just trying to keep it, within the boundaries of the golf course. And go from there. So not a fun way to play golf on the best tour in the world, that's for sure.
No, but now at least a familiar ball flight for you, something that you're recognizing.
Familiar, and when we finally got it, I thought, wow, that's how it's supposed to feel when you hit the ball. It's not, it shouldn't feel so abrupt at the bottom and digging into the turf. You should be getting through the turf, with a little bit more ease. And so finally I'm finding that part of it, which is great.
Well, that's nice to have to look forward to for 2018. And what's going on at the Fritsch household over the holidays? Anything exciting?
Well, we had a nice Thanksgiving over at the in-laws' house, and we do the same thing at Christmas, so we kind of keep it low-key. We don't like to travel during the holidays. It's a little chaotic if you try to go up to Canada with kids and snowstorms and everything. So it's we like to stay at home here in Raleigh, North Carolina.
And keep your eye on the Sens. Keep your eye on the Sens, of course.
Yes, it's been a little bit of a losing streak lately, so I'm trying to break the karma any way I can. Tonight I'm going to watch the game in my underwear, see what happens.
Brad, we wish you all the best for 2018, and have a happy and healthy holiday.
All right, appreciate that. Thanks.
Brad Fritch with Bob Weeks. One thing, Fritchie, go Leafs go, baby. On the other side, winners, weird, and what, 3-dub. Weeksy will have the tea. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. 3-dub time winners, weird and what? No lack of material this week in the world of golf.
No.
And Bob, sir, the tee is yours, my friend.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
I love that one. Well, Mark, my winner this week is a guy that probably most of us don't know the name. You won't recognize his name. His name is Richard Guyer. Do you know him?
No.
I thought so.
A man, as Cliff Clavin would say on Cheers, a man who's never been in my kitchen house.
That's right. You actually should get to know this guy.
Okay.
He is a doctor, and he is the guy who works at the Texas Back Institute where Tiger Woods had his surgery.
Okay.
So Dr. Guyer is the guy who fused the back and put Tiger Woods back on the golf course. And having watched him for a couple of days so far, I would have to think that Dr. Guyer is going to receive a lot of praise, maybe a couple of dozen Bridgestone golf balls from Tiger as a thank you gift or something.
I think Bridgestone, I think TaylorMade, Bridgestone, PGA Tour, NBC, CBS, Golf, they should all send him a nice Christmas gift.
Did the fusion of the L5-S1 vertebral segment at the base of the spine. The surgery entailed removing Wood's damaged disc and re-elevating the collapsed disc. Blah, blah, blah. That's all the medical talk. All we have to know is that the surgery worked, and Dr. Guyer is a miracle worker for that. My weird this week is the cool story about Henrik Stenson's wife.
Yes, you see her on the bag this week, Bob.
She's on the bag, but that's not the only cool thing about this story. So Henrik Stenson's regular caddy, they weren't going to play. Because of his back injury, remember when he was hanging from the wires mm-hmm. when you were taking that crazy picture. So he hurt his back, and he wasn't sure he was going to play in this. So he told his caddy, don't worry, I'm probably not going to play, so take the week off. So he went somewhere else. Then he finds out, you know what, I'm not bad. I can probably play. So his wife says, well, I'll caddy for you. She's a pretty good golfer, played college golf. And they went down to Bahamas, but the only non-tour bag, they didn't want her to carry the big tour bag. The only one they had was her golf bag, and she played for the South Carolina Gamecocks. Ooh, can't remember who it the
It's an NCAA carry
team.
Bag.
And so he's got this on his bag.
Love it.
She's carrying it around.
So he's a Gamecock.
And his great line was the only difference between this and my regular caddy is that she gets 100% of the winnings.
That's good. I like that.
And then my what this week is, boy, what a change in the odds. At the
Masters
for Tiger Woods.
This is insane. When I saw this last night, you were covering this on SportsCenter. And
yep.
The first time I saw this last night when you covered it, and my mouth dropped.
So in Vegas, the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook, Tiger, when they opened up their betting on the Masters, Tiger was at 100-1. Two days ago, he was at 40-1. After the first round, he plummeted to 15-1, and they've stayed there right now after a second round. 15-1 right now.
From 100-1.
Now, I know that, you know, the odds are based on where the money's going, but still, 15-1.
Crazy.
After two rounds?
Absolutely insane.
Nuts.
But that's Tiger. That's what he does to this sport. It's ridiculous, but I know. I saw that. I saw you cover that last night at SportsCenter, and I went, you got to be kidding me.
Crazy stuff.
All right, Bob, Tia's mine.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Well, the truth for me, Bob, is did you see Charlie Hoffman's round yesterday, the 63? That certainly doesn't tell the story, does it?
He had a great finish. I know that.
Well, he birdied the last five holes in a row. But look at this scorecard. I think, like, okay, so let's start on the front side. He has two pars on the front nine.
That's not good.
For 31.
Oh.
Two pars for 31. And then he comes out on the back nine, opens the back nine with a par on 10, and then strings off birdie, bogey, bogey, birdie, 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 birdie. It was a topsy-turvy round to get to 63. And it's shocking to me, Bob, in a sense, because this is not a golf course, to be bluntly honest, where there's that much trouble out there. So
three pars?
Three pars in total. And two of them very early in his round. So I don't know. So Hoff, I don't know what Hoffman found out there that the other guys didn't, but it was it's a fun way to shoot 63 for the Hoff. Now, my weird this week, Kevin Kisner's caddy. Now, Jim Piercy is a buddy of Dwayne Bauch. Now, Dwayne Bauch is Kevin Kisner's regular caddy, okay? And Jimmy Piercy, it was his buddy that traveled with him to the Bahamas. Now, Bauch is known for the size of his calves.
Massive.
Massive calves. He actually even has a Twitter handle for his calves. At Bauch's calves is the Twitter handle. So this guy's legs are like tree trunks. So sure enough, what happens? He pops his knee on the fourth hole in the opening round.
Ow.
And he has to pull his buddy out of the crowd. So his buddy thought he was going for a relaxing, you know, 4 days in the Bahamas, 5 days, going to watch a little golf, do a little pool time. Nope. He is now looping for Kiz at the Hero World Challenge.
Bring in the right-hander.
Wow. But of all guys to pop a knee or have a leg issue, it is not Dwayne Bauch. These things are massive, okay? So, I don't know. Maybe his calves are too big. Maybe the calves are so big, it has weakened the knee.
Could be.
That's it. I'm not no doctor, but my what this week is, and I know you and I have probably had the busiest last week of November, maybe on record.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember working more outside of what we would do daily this time of year than this week. I know you were all over SportsCenter. You're doing tons of radio hits. It was crazy. I was doing a bunch of radio hits on all our stations coast to coast this week. And the one point of conversation came up with Matty Cause, who works on 1050 and 1150 in Hamilton. And Matt brought up a good point. We were talking about this. Is Tiger a blessing or a curse in this comeback? And I knew what he was getting at because I was thinking the same thing, and I've talked a lot more about it since we brought it up, was this is a bonus. This is awesome that Tiger's playing golf. This is awesome that golf's getting as much attention as it is this time of year. But when you consider the Jordan Spieth and the Justin Thomas and all the great young stars that have come out of the shadow of Tiger in the last few years to kind of be the, you know, the leaders in the game of golf, And yet still Tiger is still the biggest story. He is still the biggest straw that stirs the drink. It's just scary still to me because hopefully, Bob, this comeback's for real. But what if it isn't? And even if it is for real, how long could it last? We've got 4 years.
Maybe five.
Maybe five. We're still not past Tiger Woods, I guess is my point. And if I'm the PGA Tour, and I'm the game of golf, and I'm the broadcasters and whatnot, and I can control any of the messaging, because some of it you can't. You're not going to control TSN. You're not going to control ESPN. Regular sports news outlets are going to take Tiger Woods, and they are going to run with it. But if I'm the golf community, I'd really still try to stay on message here. And the message for me is the stars of this game are 22, 23, 24 years old.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't disagree with that, but I think that the biggest stars are always going to be the biggest stars. I mean, look what happened this year when Jack Nicklaus showed up at Glen Abbey.
You know, we all lost our minds.
Right. And so I think I go to the flip side. I think it's a benefit because it's bringing in a whole bunch of people who weren't necessarily watching or not going to watch this tournament.
Right.
And they may not be hardcore golf fans, but at least they're paying attention to golf. And the fact that you and I are working a little extra, that's not a bad thing. I don't mind that this time of year.
True.
Only because the alternative is, you know,
yeah, let's sit around.
Right. So I think it's good, but I see your point. It's kind of like having all the eggs in one basket to a certain extent.
Yeah,
but
it's just a dangerous territory. So
yep.
I love it. I agree with what you're saying. I just want everybody to react to this as extra bonus. Like
you
put on an old jacket and you found $20 in the pocket.
Just like the extra bonus 30 that's coming up.
Ah, well, see, that's a professional segue right there. You know, it's amazing. After Jack came up for Canadian Open, I spoke like Kermit the Frog for a week. It was unbelievable. Bob spoke of it. The bonus 30. If you're listening on the iHeartRadio app on TSN Online, 1150 in Hamilton, 1050 in Toronto, a few other select markets, we got 30 more minutes of GTC. It will include Scully time, which I'm sure will be heavy Tiger talk. We have Mike Kelly, Executive Director of Golf Ontario, joining us. Talk a little bit about 12 days of golf going on right now for the rest of you. You're listening on Terrestrial, coast to coast. Jump online. You can get the extra 30. If not, thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Zucchino Weeks in studio, the bonus 30. Lots to get to still, some Scully time, lots of Tiger talk. Tiger going at 12:50 today with Hideki Matsuyama, who won here last year, defending champion of the Hero World Challenge.
Only one person's repeated as winner here.
Mr. Woods himself.
You got it.
And there we go. I believe he won his own event about seven times. I believe he's a seven times. Is it
five-time
champion. So we will get to more of that later. But now welcoming to the program a friend of Golf Talk Canada, Executive Director of Golf Ontario, talking a little 12 days of golf as it launched on the first of the month. Great auction prizes for the golfer on your list. Why not golf, Mike Kelly? Why not for the golfer on your list for the holiday? Maybe a foursome at a round of golf that they typically can't access, my friend.
Exactly. Good morning, guys. Or how about the great program that it benefits with the National Golf and Schools program with Future Links?
That's awesome. So, Mike, just run us through exactly what's going on. Give listeners an idea of what's happening here.
Well, we have some of the best private and public golf courses available for bid for 12 days straight. And last year, this program helped us raise almost $30,000 towards the Future Links Golf and Schools program. So we have, again, some of the best facilities in Ontario, all over the province. It covers not just the GTA, but all over the province, and are available for bid. So you can get some of that holiday shopping done. And, you know, get a head start on golf next year.
You know, it's interesting, too. I was just going to say, Mike, that you guys are all over the place here. You have Mississauga, we got Windsor, GTA up north. So regardless of where you're hearing Golf Talk Canada this morning and where you're listening, there is a golf course of interest somewhere near you, or potentially an excuse to take a road trip, which is always fun because, you know, these are foursomes you're bidding on, correct, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. And whether it's to your point, whether it's a road trip with boys or girls down to, you know, Niagara or to Ottawa, we've got the province covered for sure with opportunities for road trips such as that.
And the Future Links Golf and Schools program, I talk about this all the time. Yes, you can introduce an adult to the game of golf. Sometimes people find golf later in life, and it's important. But to truly grow the game and the base of the game at a participation level, clubs in kids' hands is the way to do this. And if you don't want to just introduce kids to the game of golf through the private golf community, because it's such a small percent of golf in this country, why not golf in schools? That, to me, Mike, makes the most sense.
Well, Well, I mean, can you think of a better long-term strategy for the sport and the health of the game? I mean, if clubs in the hands of kids in elementary schools gives us the opportunity to ensure that everybody has that opportunity. And I think, you know, one of the key elements to this is actually together with facilities and together with Golf Canada, we actually use these dollars to support adoption. So schools that either can't afford it or, you know, have that PE budget to get involved, but also, you know, together with facilities for, across Ontario being able to engage PGA professionals in school to activate that program as well as bringing them on course. So it's we actually give a number of grants, over 100 grants a year to facilities to get involved. So it's an industry play, right? It's not something that just Golf Ontario and Golf Canada do. This is an industry activity because it's in the best interest of the game for everybody to get involved.
All right, so I'm looking at the list right now, and you can get this by really going to the Golf Ontario website and following the links there. This is run by eBay, and I see up here we got Essex Golf Club down in Windsor, as Mark was saying, Mississauga Golf and Country Club, Oak Bay up near Barrie there, Hidden Lake, Greyhawk. Now, there's 15 courses listed here, and these ones will all end on Monday, and then there's new ones come on. Is that how it works?
Exactly, Bob. Yep, and then a new crop will come up, so yeah. You kind of have to keep coming back to see what's available, and there I can tell you there's bigger that is a solid group that you just that you listed, and there'll be more coming each time that we have another group to put up there.
Yep, 3-day window. So this was the first crop from December 1st to December 3rd, and then we'll get a new crop that comes in. So you got to stay active. Go to gao.ca. That's gao.ca and pick the 12 days of golf, and you can come and find who's in the window. And every 3 days, you're going to be refreshing this. You got to keep coming back. You got to stay active. It's fun. Everybody has a golfer on the list, so why not apply the money to a wonderful cause for a golf in schools program for kids, and at the same time, hit a home run with a potential Christmas gift for someone you know, or potentially yourself, because I like to buy something special for myself once in a while, Mike. You know what I mean? So, I just kind of guy I am. So, yeah, Mike, before we let you go, I just need to get your thoughts on what's transpired in the Albany Club, because I know you love watching golf. I know you love golf, period. Some Tiger thoughts before we wrap here with you. What you've seen. Are you as surprised at the quality of play as I am?
Surprised, yes. I'm just telling. I mean, that 3-wood on 9 yesterday was unreal. I mean, just it was a great look back at the Tiger of old, and if he can keep that up and stay healthy, it's going to be pretty exciting for golf and lots of fun to watch for sure.
We've seen more club twirling in the last 2 days than the last 3 years combined. That's all I know. So, Mike, always a pleasure. 12 days of golf. Good luck on the continued success with this program. We're going to have you on again, obviously, early in the new year. We're going to have some announcements regarding more junior golf programs with Golf Ontario. Always a pleasure. And Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. And always appreciate your support of golf in Ontario and Canada. And look forward to doing it again.
Mike Kelly, Executive Director. Don't forget gao.ca. It's gao.ca and 12 days of golf. On the other side, Tiger Talk, Scully time. We'll let Scully gloat a little here because, you know, when Masters pools roll around and stuff like that and he doesn't make it to the weekend, we tend to pound a little on Skull. And he instead was Kreskin when it came to taking suggestions on the future of the crystal ball of what was Tiger Woods.
It really was.
He was very aggressive, and he was very accurate. So we have to let – this is going to be, instead of Scully time, it's Scully gloating time. Coming up next on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Before we get to Scully time, just a reminder, Bob and I, live on location at the
Bahamas.
In the Bahamas. No? Not in the Bahamas.
Darn. I was hoping.
Live on location next Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9:30. We will be on location at the WeatherTech Automotive Accessory Store in Burlington. It is the only store in Canada.
I'll take that.
A retail location where you can browse and order and purchase WeatherTech automotive products and accessories. They're going to have some specials. So if you have, you're thinking about Christmas, if there's that special somebody in that world that would appreciate that, first of all, the liners themselves are great for everybody. I know we're all customers. So, but we're also going to have some amazing giveaways. We're going to have Leaf tickets, Raptor tickets, wow. Foursome at Muskoka Bay. Wow. And it's only for the first 50 people that show up to see us. So the first 50 people that come out and see us in the morning while we're broadcasting at the WeatherTech Automotive Accessory Store, those 50 people will have a name in their draw for, again, Leafs, Raptors, Foursomes, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to have some fun, and that's next week at the WeatherTech store in Burlington. All right, Scully time now. Scully? Give props. You were the most aggressive when it came to the optimistic view of the potential return of Tiger this time around.
Absolutely.
Not only did you call that he would show up at the Hero World Challenge when Bob and I were thinking much later, I wasn't even sure when he was coming back at all. You also thought that he was going to be competitive. Where... now, where you believe this from, I have no idea.
You know, it all stems back from that great Black Eyed Peas song, I Got a Feeling.
That's
a,
ooh.
That's all I was in choir in grade six, and that's all I got. But
that's it.
Well, I wasn't expecting him to be this, you know, this good, really. I mean,
but this is even beyond what you thought.
I thought he would be a sort of around par each round. Yeah. Like last year, he closed with a 76, and he sort of fizzled out. He said he was tired.
Yeah, ran out of juice, right?
But this time around, like, the speed he is putting behind the golf ball, especially off the tee, is crazy. So you guys mentioned earlier in the show that his 180-mile-an-hour clubhead speed.
Ball speed.
Yeah.
So the clubhead speed's got to be around 120, I'm guessing, to produce that ball speed.
Some notables last season who never touched that number.
Right.
Rose, Garcia, Matsuyama, Hoffman, Casey, Mickelson, Ustazen, Patrick Reed.
Wow.
Those guys never got there.
Wow. Never got there.
And Sergio Garcia
He happened to win a some green jacket.
And is recognized as probably one of the top three or five drivers of the golf ball in the world. When you're combining overall performance of accuracy off the tee distance, being able to hit a cut, a draw, pick your window. I don't know if there's anybody better than Sergio when you include all of those things, right?
And I know the fairways at Albany aren't quite like Shinnecock, but he's hit a lot of fairways.
Yes, he has. Right, and he's also picked a lot of stripes.
Yeah.
Like there's some fairways where he's hit where you couldn't draw the line straighter down the target line.
And it looks like he's pushing it both ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
When we've seen the Pro Tracer, we see some tight draws, some tight cuts. And some recoil, especially in particular on Thursday, the drivable par 4 7th. He really went after it and carried it 303 and, you know, just short. But it is great to see him doing this
so
far.
You bring up a good point there, because in the previous comeback attempts, all he had was a Bruce Litsky fade. That's what he was going to. The Bruce Litsky fade, like we're... you know, 1 degree of club face away from a slice, you know, and that's what he was going to. And you're right. He's shaping it both ways. Does any of this outside of health, obviously health is the big one here. Let's not be foolish. This time, whatever they did to that back from a technical standpoint, it was drastically different than the three previous attempts.
Oh yeah.
Whatever it is they did this time, it worked, at least for now.
Oh yeah.
It has worked. Okay, without the obvious, looking at secondary reasons as to why he may be able to, you know, perform at this level compared that he hasn't been able to achieve in quite some time. A lot of this to me is I haven't heard him talk about mechanics necessarily, swing changes. I'm working with this guy and we're working on this. Tiger's kind of been doing this almost solo. In a sense, you know, playing golf with his buddies, hitting some balls, letting the talent that he was, you know, you're born. They had this conversation, this debate on the broadcast the other day. Are great quarterbacks born or are they built? Are great athletes born or are they built? This one, I'm sorry. Yes, there's a lot of work that goes into this, but Tiger was born. You know, this is a genetic. He has got talent and skill, and maybe he's just letting the maybe he's like cleaning out the kitchen a little.
It's amazing to me that there's been no talk as to who he's working with. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Cuomo's name hasn't come up
at all.
There were some rumors about him maybe working with Haney, but I don't know about that. But after the book fiasco,
I know he's not working with Haney because he ain't flat and stuck.
We're not talking about Sean Foley or Butch or anything. So you're right. It's just kind of been he's out there, but clearly the swing has. Through all the analysis they've done on television, you can see how the swing is a lot different. Even he's talking about how he's not flinching at the ball. And I think in some cases, you know, the pain he still had in the back last time, where it wasn't 100% perfect, it's sort of the anticipation of feeling that pain sometimes is worse than the pain, right? That's what makes your swing kind of, oh, I don't want to do
it. It's coming at some point, right? So...
But one
shot I was curious about seeing yesterday was that sort of hack out on 18 from that sort of footprint lie earlier in the week in his press conference he said I haven't hit these awkward shots from the rough yet and I thought maybe this will be something but he hacked it out fine.
Well, those are the things you don't practice, right?
Exactly.
Right? Like, we always talk about that.
A lot of practice at that shot.
During the round.
Yeah, I am really good at the 40-yard just punch shot directly sideways through three trees. Yeah.
I have done that backhanded one that...
Oh, JT, that was awesome. That was so good.
With the first one.
Swing and a miss.
With the first one.
I use the back of my clubs as much as the front of the clubs in some ways.
So, let's just go around... Skull, what's the most shocking part of this for you? Is it the speed in the bat, or was it the ability to self-correct a bit of the short game between Thursday and Friday, or something else?
Well, the short game, the grain that they're playing in, we've seen a lot of guys, maybe not a lot of guys, but some guys hit some mediocre, indifferent chips. For me, it's some of the sharpness of, yes, he's hitting it so far, but some of the shots he's hitting, these flighted shots, the one shot in particular that he really went all out on was on Thursday on one of the par fives. He had a 2-iron from 260 into the wind, and he, as he said after, he hit it on a rope, and it was just perfect. As Mike Kelly said in the last segment, that 3-wood into 9 yesterday was just majestic.
Nine.
It was epic.
Landed so soft.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, he's 7 under par. He is 5 off Charlie Hoffman's lead, only 2 off second place of Jordano Spieth at 9 under. He'll go out with Hideki, the defending champion, at 12.50. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods finishes the tournament at what?
Oh, wow.
And in what place? I will tell you that Tiger Woods will finish this golf tournament at 13 under par. Wow. I think it's good enough for third.
Oh.
And I think he loses to Jordan Spieth by 3 or 4 shots.
By the way, I just got a text from our erstwhile golf producer, Jamie Rydell.
Ah,
they have been talking about Cuomo, apparently.
Oh, really?
Oh, so see, I have not. Okay, but
interesting.
You know what, though? Not There's enough no because I've watched all of this.
Yeah. Hasn't been,
so it hasn't been enough because I didn't pick up.
Maybe it's just via FaceTime.
Maybe.
I think Jamie, I think now that the Grey Cup's handed out, Jamie's just watching too much golf. Jamie, get to work. There must be a honey to-do list.
Just picking up, I'll give you my prediction in just a sec, but if he wins, he goes to 134th in the world rankings.
From what, over 11?
1,199th.
Yeah. So almost 1,100 spots better.
Comes 10th, he goes to 673rd. I just think he's going to kind of stay where he is, between 7 and 10, I think, somewhere in there. I think...
He'll top 10?
I think he'll top 10.
Like 8, 9, 10?
I think he'll top 10.
So I'm a little bit more aggressive. Scully, where are you?
Well, you know, I've been pretty optimistic through this whole thing.
Yes, you have.
I'm not going to say he's going to win the thing, but I think he's going to come top 5,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to finish at 12 under par.
All right, so you got him, like, almost right where I have him. I got him at 13, you got him at 12.
I hope I'm wrong, because this would be spectacular to see him win this thing.
Yeah.
It'd be one of the stories of the year.
And I don't believe, with all due respect to Charlie Hoffman, who's a great player and a winner on the PGA Tour, I don't believe Hoffman's the winner of this event.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I feel that Tiger Woods is chasing Jordan Spieth. I really feel that at 9
under, back.
At 9 or par at 2 back, right?
Another guy to look at, too, is Justin Rose, top 10 machine.
Who I believe will win at Augusta this year and have a monster 2018.
Well, he's been in the top 10 each of his last 8 starts.
Yeah.
Won twice.
Well, and Bob and I have been watching the golf together, and we, as we discussed, it looks like he has a putting stroke now.
Yeah.
And he's got a putter that works, and he's rolling the rock.
Well, I'll tell you something that I find very interesting, and this is strange for a guy who wins back-to-back or twice lately on the European Tour, and a guy who has finished so well at Augusta over the years without a win, and his only major is a U.S. Open, where the greens were lightning at Marion.
Yep.
You would think his record in majors would be better, for someone who's a poor putter, that his record would be better poor putter at that level of play at West Outland. You know, calling him a poor putter compared to like the planet, he's a god with a putter, but compared to the other top players in the world, that's been the Achilles heel. And you would think that the British Open would be a better major for him, slow or the PGA greens, Championship would be a better major for him. Not that the PGA has slow greens, but it's a friendlier environment for sure. I have always found that guys with tentative putting strokes, that sometimes the faster the greens, the better, because they don't have to hit it.
Right.
Like the last thing Justin Rose wants is a putt to win from 9 feet under the hole, uphill on a slow green. Because he has to be confident and he has to be aggressive at impact in that putting stroke. Yeah. Where at Augusta, he's tickling it all day.
Yeah,
everybody's tickling it, right?
Exactly.
And Justin Rose, who plays as much golf here as anybody at the Albany Club, who's comfortable on these greens, to get to what we talked at the start of the show today, Bob, the greens are this is the fastest he has ever seen them this week. And we've seen Tiger run at 8-9 feet past the hole.
A lot of guys.
So the fact that they are super slick, faster than they've ever been before, I think that I know this sounds ridiculous, and this goes against common belief when it comes to poor putters versus good putters. I think the faster the greens, the more extreme the surface, that little pencil grip and that little soft stroke where he's kind of almost, just tickling the putter head through impact, not having to pound it, it helps a Justin Rose. And I think that's why his stroke looks better this week, and that's why I think he always putts good at Augusta.
And it's speaking of Rose, and Tiger spoke about this a lot, the camaraderie between the guys. Rose posted a selfie with Tiger earlier this week. Tiger said he was grateful for all the guys, for, Ricky and Daniel Berger and Rory and DJ. And JT for, encouraging him to, come out and play for some dollars, as he said, and play
his
for
new,
some...
His new word, denominations. That's what he's called it. Play for some denominations.
All right, so Bob has Tiger roughly where he is now, holding steady for the weekend with still a good finish. Adam Scully has him at 12 under in the top five. I have him 13 under, finishing third. Do we all have him then feeling good Monday morning?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Which is the most important thing.
Yeah. I think it's important that you listen to what he said after the run yesterday, which is, let's not get too excited. I still got lots of work to do, which I
think
is
much.
True.
Mm-hmm. Bob and I, live on location next week in Burlington at the WeatherTech Automotive Accessory Store. Come see us. The first 50 people to check us out at WeatherTech and come say hello will be have an opportunity to be in a ballot for Leaf tickets, Raptor tickets, foursome at Muskoka Bay, WeatherTech giveaways, WeatherTech specials. So come out. Check us out. If you're driving around in the West End looking for a coffee in the morning and want to come by and say hello, maybe talk a little golf, maybe jump in, ask a question. Wow. Give Bob and I crap maybe on something we said this year.
Listen to Mark rant.
Yeah, we're only a couple weeks away from Christmas, which means we're only 2 weeks away from Festivus. So there's lots of rants coming.
There's going to be a packed house for that show.
Okay, yeah, live studio audience, Festivus 2 weeks. Oh, yeah. We're on location. So lots from Golf Talk Canada. And don't forget, our Christmas, holiday, New Year's 1 hour special, we will unveil the top 18 holes in Canada. So GTC's top 18, we have an expert panel that got involved. We went to you, the listening and viewing audience, and put together the top 18 in Canada. So that's coming up. Thank you, as always, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Let's go, Tiger. Let's have a fun day. I know you two gentlemen are working very hard the rest of the weekend for TSN to cover the Tiger story. I will be on my butt with my feet up covering the Tiger story. Thanks so much. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet. Thank you for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.